Do you understand and champion your point in your presentations? Listen to today's episode and find out how you can do just that. Hello, and welcome to the Public Speaking Superpowers video podcast. I'm your host, Karma Spence, author of Public Speaking Superpowers, which is currently available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can probably even get it at your local bookstore. If you are listening to this podcast and audio only, I invite you to come over to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com and watch the video. If you're already watching video, welcome. Today's guest is one of my featured speakers from the book. His name is Joel Schwartzberg, and he is an executive communications professional, an author, a corporate speech trainer, and former national champion public speaker. Joel's coaching focuses on the most critical, yet most often missed, misunderstood, and muffed element of successful speech: understanding and championing your point. In today's episode, Joel explain what a point is, how to identify yours, and how to sharpen it for maximum impact. Welcome to the podcast, Joel.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Karma.
So since you've been on the podcast before, only when it was an audio only, how have things been for the last 8 years?
Well, how much time do you have? probably the most interesting evolution or advance in my life in the context of what we talk about is my public speaking training, because I have been training people for about 10 years now. And it was about 3 or 4 years into it, and that might have been after our last podcast, that I realized that while I was training people to be stronger presenters and have volume and use pauses and gesture with strength, at the end I would ask them, well, what's the point of your presentation? And you know, Karma, they wouldn't know. Yeah. Or they would confuse their point for something like a theme or an idea or a topic or a concept or sometimes a catchphrase. And so I built into my program this idea, what is a point? How do you know when you have one? And how can you sharpen it so it has impact? And over time, that section of my training has actually become larger and everything else has become smaller, because you know, Karma, as well as anyone, you can Google public speaking tips and you could read until you're 100 years old. But I found very few things that actually focused on how do you know when you have a point and what is the sharpest version of your point. And that's why last year I wrote this book, Get to the Point, which is sort of a manual as much as it is a book to training people on how to identify their points. Because at the end of the day, no matter how strong and charismatic and funny and knowledgeable you are, if you don't have a point, you are rendered pointless.
That's a good point. So what is a point and how can you tell if it's a good one?
So a point is an argument that you're trying to make. It's something that has a feasible counterpoint, but it's something for which you can instantly provide evidence or data or reasoning. You want to propose something and then convince people of it with background support. So for example, social media is not a point. If I went to a conference and I said, what's the point of your presentation? And they said, social media or podcasting. They haven't told me what's their take on social media or why is podcasting relevant today since it's been around for a while. That's not my burden to figure out as the audience. That's the burden of the speaker to make clear when that speaker conveys his point. So sometimes I use the example of my son. If he wrote a report on the American Revolution, he's not telling me yet how he feels about the American Revolution. Okay, he says, so what about the importance of the American Revolution? Well, that still doesn't tell me what he thinks is important about it. What's important to him may be different than what's important to me. So I developed this test, and the first part of it is the most important and probably the simplest. And it's called the I Believe That test. Basically, you take what you think is your point. Podcasting is great, or this type of politics will help create a future generation of leaders, whatever it's going to be. Imagine that. Now put the words, I believe that, in front of it. If you have a complete sentence, one that your fourth grade English teacher would give you an A for, then you've passed that first part of the test. But if you do not have a complete sentence, then you need to go back and reimagine. So let's apply this. You can say, I believe that influential podcasting, or I believe that saving lives, or I believe that a greener earth, you know, those are not complete sentences. You need to go back and insert words. So you could say, I believe that social media is the best way to reach our target audience of millennials. Or I believe that podcasting is more important than ever because it provides the time for in-depth discussions. Sam. Now, by the sound of those, that they're going to be more interesting.
Right. And just for example, I was thinking for the point of public speaking superpowers is, I believe that anybody can be a competent speaker.
Right.
So yeah, that
makes
sense.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. And that passes the first part of the test. And you may ask yourself at that point, well, why is that important? And let me ask you, Karma, why is it important for people to be stronger public speakers?
Because it affects every area of their life.
Right.
It affects their relationships. It affects their career. It affects their sense of self-esteem and confidence.
Right. So in answering that question, now we've actually gotten closer to a point of substance. We've gone from, I believe that public speaking skills affect everyone, or something like that, to I believe that public speaking skills will elevate every facet of your life.
Ooh, I like that.
So now see how we're adding substance to it? I call this the highest value proposition. Where I work, we often, in my day job, we often talk about, or we work on saving lives, saving animal lives. And many of the presentations I see end with, well, if we do this right, we're going to get more traffic to our website. Or if we do this right, we're going to open up more facilities in more parts of the country. Or we will get more members or subscribers. But you know what they don't end with often, Karma, is if we do this right, we're going to save more lives. And that's what I mean by identifying the highest value proposition you're making. It may be saving lives. It may be saving the world. It may be selling more Coca-Cola. It may be elevating the public speaking superpowers of everyone. Whatever it is, identify that and make that the real jewel of your point.
Okay. And now for a quick commercial break. If public speakers were superheroes, what would their superpowers be? They could be passion, authenticity, voice, and more. And what's even better? You can have them too. You may ask, who, me? Yes, you. Order your copy of Public Speaking Superpowers on Amazon today. Find out more at publicspeakingsuperpowers.com. And now back to the podcast. So what are common mistakes that speakers make to dilute the power of their point?
Well, two things in particular. One I call split ends. And that's the temptation of a speaker to say, all right, this approach will make us more effective, efficient, successful, popular, and memorable. Now, as the speaker, I'm thinking, oh, I'm adding more things like adding ornaments to a Christmas tree. It's just going to make it more vibrant. But if you think about what I just said, how many people can, you know, read back or tell me exactly those five describers or adjectives? And even if you could, which one was most important to me? Because
right.
Karma, in effect, what I've done is I've set up a scenario in which all of those descriptors are fighting each other for your attention. Mm. And in effect, they're diluting the power of each one. So by adding, I'm in fact subtracting.
Right.
If I said to you, this approach will make us much more efficient, boom, that's one concept. It's easy for the audience to understand, and it's going to have the impact you want. So speakers need to resist the temptation to add adjectives because it only dilutes the power of their points in the end. Now, that doesn't mean you can't cover multiple areas, but just delineate them. First, I'm going to talk about why this approach makes us more efficient. Now that we've covered that, I'm going to talk about why it makes us more effective.
Okay.
So just don't cram those like clowns into a Volkswagen together. The other thing I tell people often is to avoid what I call badjectives. Now, badjectives, we have a little fun with it, but that's really a word that's so general and so broad and so overused, it means virtually nothing. If I told you that the public speaking superpowers is a great resource, what am I saying by saying it's great? I'm saying
not
something
that
mildly positive. If I said was the best of all podcasts, there at least I'm attaching sort of a true meaningful value to it. But if I just said it's an excellent podcast, it's a very good podcast, or my approach, my point is great. This is a great approach. This is very good. This is fascinating. It's awesome. those words are going to have little meaning in the end, because what's awesome to me may not be awesome to you. And it's so general and devoid of specificity that even if you think, oh, I'm saying this is great, the audience is not going to take anything away from that. And believe me, 2 seconds later, they're going to forget that you even said that, because it just doesn't have the value to hold you. The way to solve the adjective issue is just to ask why. Well, this approach is great. Why? Because it empowers people to have control over their lives. Fantastic. Now, you know what? Take out that adjective and go right to that end statement. This approach will empower people and allow them to have control over their lives.
Very good.
Took out that worthless garbage adjective, and we inserted something of true value.
Exactly. And they talk a lot about this when you're asking people to do testimonials. You
right.
don't want them to go, oh, karma was great.
Right.
So?
Yeah, I know with my book, this is a great resource, or this is awesome. And I just want to say, can you just get into the why? And some people have really taken this approach. Simon Sinek, you know, most obviously, start with why. So there's this approach of get away from the what and get into the why. And I totally agree with that. Where I'm going with that is, all right, we know we need to start with why, but people need tools and training to help them understand how to convey that why. It's not enough to know, all right, I need to share the why. There are very particular ways in which you can convey it weakly, and there are ways you can convey it with strength. And that's where I'm sort of targeting my counseling.
Okay. All right. So why do you think every speaker is in sales, and what's the difference between sharing and selling?
So it starts with a story. I worked for a kids magazine back in the day. It was a classroom educational magazine, and I was on the editorial side. And the president of the magazine called in a big-time sales trainer, like a real Glengarry Glen Ross kind of guy, and put down that coffee. And he gave us a very hardcore, always be selling, always be closing kind of sales presentation. And those of us who were in editorial were like, why are we here? We deal with words, we write. We're not in marketing. We're not in ad sales. We don't go to the fancy offsites. We go to the vice president's home in Connecticut. You know, we're just the writers. But she was right. When you have an idea and you want to get it across, it is not enough to share it. And by that, I mean, describe it. Give a book report. Say the what. If you want to have impact with that, you need to sell it. What does that mean? That means making a case for it.
Okay.
So I often say it's sort of like a book. When you open a book, the table of contents shares the content, the inventory. But the blurb on the inside of the book, or sometimes in the back cover, that sells the book. Hmm. And I've had a lot of clients who are in the business of selling. And one of them sold a lot of hats and brochures and pins. And I said, give me your best sales pitch. And she said, okay. And she said, look at this hat. This hat won't get crushed. Your logo can go all over the hat. And look at this pin. This pin is a special magnet, so it won't pierce you. It'll actually magnetize in the back. And by the way, your logo can go all over. And this brochure, and she went on and on. And she finished. And I said, are you done? And she said, yeah, I described the value of all of my inventory. And I said, you know the one thing I never heard you say? I never heard you say that if I buy your products, I will be more successful. Mm. And at the end of the day, that's the ballgame.
Exactly.
That's the point. I believe if you hire me, I will help you become successful. Not a book report of the inventory,
right.
but the sale. So that's what
that's
I mean.
That's the difference between benefits and features.
What's that?
That's the difference between benefits and features.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
People,
how is it impactful?
Like,
you know, there's that classic sell me this pen.
Right.
And what happens when you do this exercise where you challenge someone, a marketer, to sell the pen? Their first instinct is to say, all right, it's blue, it's shiny, the cap can attach to your pocket. You know, they go on and on about what it does. It writes in 6 colors, but they never say, this is a valuable tool of communication. This will allow you to express and share your ideas. In other words, what's the utility? What's the true value of that? What's the proposition you're making with it? Not just a book report on it.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I mean, features are nice and people mm-hmm. do look for features.
Right.
But the reason why they're looking for them is because of the benefit those features give you.
Bring to their lives, right.
Yeah.
And all public speakers, and by that, I mean, if you're speaking to 1,000 people at a conference, if you're speaking to your team at a Monday morning brainstorm, and if you're speaking to your stepmother, if you want your point to have impact, you want to arrange it and ideate it in a way where you're getting to that maximum benefit. Not necessarily the benefit to you, not a description of it, but what is the value add to your audience? Sometimes when my clients are done, I say, if you did your job right, what will your audience be thinking, or even better, what will they be moved to do if you do what you need to do? And by the way, you know, that's at the end of the day, that's what all public speakers want, but that has nothing to do with how white your teeth are, how funny you are, how straight your tie is, you know, if you have bedhead, all those things we worry about and we feel a level of shame about sometimes when we stand up there or we feel nervous about. None of those things matter as much as the idea of moving this point from here to there.
Right. So what are best ways to start and end a speech that preserve and elevate the point?
So the point is this gift you're giving to your audience, right? So anything you put in front of that is bearing that point to a large degree. Now, I'm a firm believer in starting with a story, humanizing yourself, a joke, if you're funny. If you're not funny, there are plenty of other things you can do besides humor. A subject for another podcast.
Right.
But recognize that those things are serving the goal of humanizing yourself, of breaking the ice a little bit, but get to your point right away. At some point within the first 20 or so seconds, you want to be saying, this is who I am, and this is what I believe we should do, and here's why. So get that point out there. I see many speeches, and writing for that matter, where people are burying their point because they think they need to tell a story first or set the scene. I do also believe sometimes you need to make clear the problem before you bring up your solution, and that's a tactic in public speaking, but recognize that when you're describing the problem, you're not yet in sales mode. You haven't reached your point yet. The problem is not your point. The solution is your point.
Okay.
So in answer to your question, very early on in your speech, present that gift to your audience. The beauty of knowing your point is you can bring it up as many times as you want. That's the thing you want your audience to leave with. So if you start in one place talking about saving the world, and now you're talking about American Idol for some reason, you don't know how you got here, how you left the reservation, you can always stop and say, all right, we got off topic a little bit, but here's the thing. I believe that, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I know we started here and there are a lot of issues to cover, but this is what I want you to understand and take with you, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, I want to make clear, because sometimes people misunderstand, the I believe that test is a test to help you find your point. You don't need to use the words, I believe that. It just brings you to that space. Now, you can. Often it works very well, but I'm not scripting it for you. I'm just giving you a device right. to help you isolate your point. So get
That's
to your point quickly.
That's great for a manifesto, but not every presentation is a manifesto.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. Sometimes you're just sharing, and most often you're sharing, well, you're not sharing, but you're selling right. an idea. I mean, I like this more, less so for the big conference speech and the keynote, and more so where more people have the opportunity, which is that department meeting. You woke up that morning and in the shower, you had this fantastic idea, and you know you want to bring it to your manager and your colleagues that day. Now, are you just going to kind of raise it? Oh, I had this idea this morning. I thought I'd throw it out there and, you know, see what you guys think of it. Or are you going to say, listen, I have this idea that I really think is going to make our process more efficient, that will allow us to divert more money to R&D, that will ultimately help us evolve as an organization. Boom. Now you've laid the case. Exactly. So you should never wing it, whether you're giving a keynote or you're just trying to share an idea of any kind.
Exactly. So that was the how you start it. How do you end it?
Right. Well, people make a lot of mistakes there because they don't realize that once you hit your point, you need to walk away or pretty quickly after that. Because I often give this scenario. Let's say you order a pizza and the guy comes and he brings you the pizza and he's in your living room. You give him the money. You take the pizza. He has your money. And for some reason, he's still standing there in your living room. That's you when you've given your point and for some reason, you're still talking. So the more talking you do after you've delivered your point, you might be thinking, oh, and there's this idea. Oh, and let's not forget this. Oh, and by the way, that's only diluting the power of the point you just made. So what I say to the CEO I work with day in, day out, I often say, get in, get out. Get in, deliver the point, get out pretty quickly. Okay. Now, the one thing I've seen a lot, even for people who understand that, they say, and this concept I really believe will change the way we run our business. Now I'm ready to take some questions.
I was going to ask about Q&A. Yeah.
So they combine those two things. And here's something very important, Karma, and I know you know this too. The audience needs twice as long to receive and digest an idea as you need to say it.
Exactly.
I want to repeat that. The audience needs twice as long to digest that idea as you need to say it. Often speakers think as soon as they say it, it's being digested and received in real time. That's not true because it's new to the audience, not new to you. And so the audience needs to process it, digest it, understand it, extract value from it. That takes a little more time. So if you say, this is my idea that will change the world, now let's take questions, you have not given your audience time to digest and receive that idea. So once you've delivered your point, try to end with your point, because audiences will often remember the very last thing you said, sometimes the very first thing you said, but put a paragraph break in there. Another version of that is, so this will change the way we do business. Now I'd like to bring up another speaker. It's just another way of cramming those two things together. So basically what I say, stick the landing. Okay. That means make your point, stick it strongly, pause, and then if you need to move on to more business, do it then, but allow it to sink in.
So a lot of times speakers are asked to have a Q&A. How Sure. do you make that transition so that your point is made and you're walking away, but you also allow for Q&A?
Right. I want people to separate those two things as much as possible. So you say, so in conclusion, I believe that if we take this approach, we're going to be known by every man, woman, and child in America. Applause, applause, pause, maybe come away from the podium to the chairs, maybe just say thank you. Do everything you can to separate that moment. Let people write it down, let people process it, let people digest it, let people tweet it.
Okay.
And then say, now to dive even further into the subject, I'm going to take some questions.
So it actually might be better if you have your introducer come on stage and then say, and now our guest speaker is going to have Q&A, because that, I think, would
right.
do what you just said.
In my workplace, we actually have a moment called a chat with the CEO. And so he finishes his final comment, his statement. He actually moves away from the podium. Our head of internal communications comes up and say, all right, thank you, Matt. Now we're going to have a little time for some interaction, your opportunity to ask questions to the CEO in what we call chat with the CEO. Are you ready? And so it couldn't be clearer. And it gives people, like I said, time. And I mean that literally, to write it down, to tweet it, to process it.
Right. And that's actually something I cover in the Power of Silence chapter. Mm-hmm. Is we talk about the idea that people need a moment to digest what you just said. And that's what pauses help an audience do.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in pauses for many reasons. I mean, it also builds suspense. Mm-hmm. It puts emphasis on what you're going to say next. But the top reason for me why I love pauses so much and why I'm such a big proponent of them is because it slows you down and it gives you the time to construct what you're saying next with complete precision.
Exactly.
You know, so many speakers, their mouths are going like this and their minds are trying to catch up. Like, wait, I need to make sense of that before you say it. Me too, you know. I'm a New York speaker. I need to find ways to slow myself down. Mm-hmm. So we want to reverse that. We want to put our minds ahead, clearing the way as if by machete, and then have our mouths sort of follow that script perfectly. That can only happen if you pause. Now, I said I'm a fast talker. I have to combat that. You can't tell someone to stop being a fast talker by saying, stop talking so quickly. Just like telling someone to stop saying and ah is not a real way. That's not the solution to their problem. You're just making right. them aware of it.
Yeah.
You have to give them a substitute. What's the Nicorette that
right.
will help solve those issues? For me, it's pausing and it's also volume. If I'm speaking at a loud volume, which I'm also a very big proponent of, that will force me to go slower. Pausing also forces me to go slower. So that's how I control those things.
Right. Since we're talking about points here, what was the point of our conversation today?
For me, I believe that if people understand what their points are and the value of their points, they will be able to better champion those points and ultimately have the kind of impact that they're looking for on an audience.
Beautiful.
I've had some time to practice it.
I bet. So if someone wanted to learn more about you and maybe even get a copy of your book, where would they go?
They would go to www.joelschwartzberg.net. That's JoelSchwartzberg .net. And on Amazon, they could look for Get to the Point, Sharpen Your Message, and Make Your Words Matter.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today on the Public Speaking Superpowers podcast.
Thank you, Karma. It was fun.
Bloopers. Today's guest is a former executive communications professional. Well, that doesn't make any sense.